Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today, once again, by the luminous Jennifer Grace Latrell, JGL. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Not to be confused with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah. You're the real JGL.
Yeah.
I hope this episode sounds good because we're actually sitting in a car in front of...
The water?
What would you call it? Yeah, the water. I don't know.
I guess it's a river.
We're watching the sunset, and we've got some lattes, oat milk lattes.
Oh, so good.
So good. And because we figured we wanted to be in nature to talk about Gilmore Girls season 4.
Yep.
And what a season 4 it was.
It was a wild ride. We thought season 3 was a wild ride.
Yep.
Season 4.
Season 4 might be my favorite.
Yeah.
So far. I feel like there are definitely highs in season 2 and 3 and 1. But season 4, I feel, has a consistent goodness. Season 4, every episode, I feel like, works.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, this fucking episode.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Before we get to it, if you're new to PCMC, we come out every Wednesday. We cover all sorts of pop culture topics. If this is your first episode, stop listening and go listen to the Starter Pack episode that came out recently. That's the perfect starting point if you're new to the show. And if you're a fan of Gilmore Girls, this is season 4, and we've already done season 1, 2, and 3. And just so you know the setup, Jen is a longtime Gilmore Girls fan. She's seen the show multiple times. I am watching it for the very first time.
Yep.
All right, so... Gilmore Girls season 4.
They got back from Europe.
They got back from Europe.
They made it.
Yes.
Backpacking through Europe.
Yeah. Man. And we have some bad bet right in the first episode.
Yeah, right away.
Right. It's good because I said season 3 didn't have enough Babette. I was like, where's Babette in this season?
Babette is all over this season.
She really is. She has some top moments. She's got big moments in both the premiere and the finale.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the premiere, yeah, she's the first person that they go to, right? Because I guess she has their key or something.
I think she was just looking out. No, she lives next door.
Yeah, but don't they go over? They're in her house.
Oh, right. Maybe
I think she has their key or something.
Yeah.
Because they're coming back from Europe.
Yeah, you might be right.
And then to skip way ahead in the finale, there's a bit where Kirk has night terror. They're all going to stay at Lorelai and Suki's new inn.
For like a test run.
Right. And he's got night terrors. So he makes it. So his best friend is Luke. Luke is not his best friend. No, but Kirk is not Luke's best friend. Luke is Kirk's best friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, if, you know, I don't, he didn't, his girlfriend doesn't know that he has night terrors. So he's like, I'll make a signal for you when we go upstairs. You got to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, all right, Ty, we're going up to bed, and he like gives a look to Luke, and then Babette goes, I think Kirk wants you to go upstairs and make love to him.
Yeah. She's great at this scene.
Babette. I fucking love Babette. She was on WTF with Marc Maron recently. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Sally Struthers. She's very close to Babette. She's very close to that character.
Mm.
So yeah, season 4, they come back. Season 3 was the Jess season.
Yeah.
Jess is gone, although he makes some solid appearances in this season, but they're not together.
Right. Well, this is where we have the backdoor pilot, no? Or is that last season?
No, that's last season.
Oh. Oh, my.
Yeah, last season we have the backdoor pilot.
I got mixed up.
That's all right. Well, this is what happens because you've seen the show 900 times.
I know.
You also watch it when you get ready in the morning, so besides...
I'm not really looking at it.
Yeah. But besides you and me watching it, you also have your own track going.
Right. Yeah.
At all times.
Yep.
So Rory graduated last season, and this season she goes to Yale.
Yeah, they made the decision last season that instead of going to Harvard, she was going to go to Yale.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And then in like the second episode, we have her first day at Yale.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, it's interesting because those first two episodes are just like them dealing with being apart.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the show does a good job, you know, making... It's not like they cheat it. Like, she is not in the house anymore. She is in her dorm at Yale. But the Friday night dinners are always there. So the Friday night dinner is this, you know, they always go over to the grandparents' house Friday night for dinner. So I feel like that allows all the characters to be together.
Right.
I guess what I'm trying to say in a long-winded way is I feel like they balanced it well. They found a good way to keep the show still going without them having to live together.
Right. Yeah, they did.
Paris is her roommate.
Yeah.
Which is some real... I can't argue because I'm a Paris lover. I love Paris. But it's some real sitcom-y shit.
I know, but what else were they going to do?
It's like...
They know the fans love Paris.
Write a new character, maybe? I don't know.
But it's also... I feel like it wasn't off-brand for Paris. It felt very Paris.
Well, without Rory knowing, she like tracked her down and like made sure she was her roommate.
Yeah, she had her father make a call to Yale.
Yeah.
So
it's a big surprise.
That feels right.
Rory. I mean, yeah, it feels right for the character. And the character's growing a little bit.
She has a life coach. Yeah. Like on Oprah.
Yeah, there at one point there's two other people in their dorm.
Tana and Janet.
Yeah, the sporty girl Janet. And then the one who's super young and naive.
Tana.
And at one point they're like, she has she has to do crafts for therapy. Paris, yeah. And they're like, why don't we get rid of this craft table? And she's like, that's my emotional homework.
Yeah.
Oh, Paris. I love Paris. I love Paris's journey.
She's trying. She's trying so hard to grow.
Yeah. And I like that she's sort of like clamped on to Rory. Rory has to deal with her forever now.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I think she's the only one that kind of balances her and like challenges her.
Yeah.
She's as smart as her, which she didn't get from Madeline and Louise.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're similar, except that Paris is a little more high-strung.
And Paris's family, she doesn't have the strong family that Rory has.
Right. But also, like, Rory will listen to her and, like, really, like, hear her.
Yeah.
Which I don't think she also got from, like, anyone else in her life before.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
We have a big Paris storyline this season, which is she cheats first on her boyfriend, Jamie, with her professor.
An old professor.
An old-ass professor.
Not like a young professor, like
yeah, it's
60 years old.
I can't remember his name. I got to look it up. It's Basil.
Oh, Asher Fleming.
No, well, that's the character's name. He's Basil from Austin Powers.
Right.
So he's a lot older than her.
Yeah.
And, she's cheating on her boyfriend, which kind of sucks.
I know.
He comes, at one point he comes to Yale to visit and he can't find her. And he like goes to Rory and he's like talking to Rory. And then he's like, today's my birthday, by the way. And it's like, oh, Jesus, poor son of a bitch.
Right.
But, he's supposed to be like a famous author.
Oh, yeah. He teaches literature, I think.
Yeah. He's also Rory's teacher.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and they met through Rory's grandfather because they're both on the Rory and Paris are on the paper, and Paris wanted an interview with him.
Yes.
And Richard comes for lunch.
Yes, because of course Richard knows him.
Yeah, it's fun. Also, Dean is engaged.
Yes.
To Lindsay.
Lindsay. Poor Lindsay. I don't know. Sometimes I feel poor Lindsay. Sometimes I feel like, fuck Lindsay.
I don't know. She gets like the short end of the stick, but I just like.
Well, Lindsay was the girl that he dated after.
Right. And then he proposed like right away, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they get married like at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of the season. Like what? Episode 3 or 4?
Is it in this season or I thought it was last season?
No, they're married.
No, but didn't the wedding happen last season at the end?
No.
Oh, see, I'm getting confused too.
It says episode 4.
Oh, okay.
Chicken or beef.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, they get married and they're like 19 and it's weird.
Yeah. Dean gets like really drunk at his bachelor party.
Yeah.
They end up at Luke's and Luke has to like take care of him.
Yeah, there's some interesting like Luke Dean dynamics going on.
Luke's so good. He's so good. He's so
precious.
He takes care of everyone.
He really does.
But yeah, while he's drunk, he's like talking about Rory and how perfect she is and why didn't she love me?
Yeah.
And then Luke like bumps into Rory and he's like, don't go to the wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, but he won't tell her why, but he's just like, don't go to the wedding.
Right. Luke pretends, he's like fucking Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca. Right. He pretends he won't stick his neck out for people, but he always does.
Right, right. But yeah, I mean, do we want to get into the Lindsay stuff while we're here?
I don't know. There's so much to get into. We can get into the Lindsay stuff.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So, I don't know if she's in anything else also, except for John Tucker Must Die.
Mm-hmm.
But I always get her confused also with Katherine Heigl.
Okay.
I feel like they just have the same face.
Okay, sure.
But, so anyway, I mean, that's the actress. So, okay, so right. So they get married, and I don't know. I feel like if you're getting married that young, like somebody has to sit you down and prepare you.
Right, right.
For anything.
Yeah, yeah.
For just anything at all that's not high school, because that's all you've known. Dean gets a job and is like going to college locally. I think Connecticut State, they said.
Yeah.
And Lindsay, I don't know if she's going to college. I know she doesn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Dean at some point has to drop out because Lindsay wants a townhouse. And they're like, Dean's like, yeah, we're kind of cramped where we are. So I'm going to drop out and take all these extra jobs.
Right.
And then Rory gets, like, Rory's always, like, pro-school.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if I agree with her on that, because I feel like he's probably making decent money and getting, like, real right. good experience. And
school might not just be his right. thing.
Right. And he's getting like good experience, but I don't my problem is really just like, why don't they both have jobs?
Why don't they? Yeah, I don't know why they don't both have jobs. It's kind of weird. It's also never totally explained why they get married. I mean, you as the audience know that it's supposed to be a rash decision, that he clearly still holds a flame for Rory, because all through the Jess season, he still had he fought with Jess at one point. Like,
right.
He seems to have always liked Rory nonstop. And then they were like, we're going to be friends.
Right.
What brings him back into the fold more closely is Lorelai. And last season, the inn they worked in burned down. So Lorelai and Suki are making their dream come true and they're opening an inn.
Yeah.
And their contractor is Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
The sardonic, sarcastic Tom.
Classic Tom.
And Dean works for Tom doing construction. Right. So that leaves Dean, that puts Dean into the story a lot.
Right, right,
There's
right.
way more Dean in this season than there was last season.
Right, right.
So
he's also still working at Dosey's.
Yes.
It just bothers me that someone could be so demanding yet not hold up
Well, this is my problem, remembering that Lindsay's not a real person and this is a TV show.
I know, I'm just saying.
My problem is, why do they make her like that? Like,
right,
why does the
exactly.
It feels like the TV show wants us
to just not like her.
To not like her so we can end up feeling okay about what happens later.
Right.
It would be more complicated if she wasn't. You know, I also think the show makes her, all of a sudden they make her into the shrew or something, because the show wants you to feel like, to not think Dean is complete trash for still liking Rory.
Right.
It
yeah.
feels easy. It feels like an easy choice to be like, because if she's not trash, if she's not demanding for no reason and she's just a reasonable character, that makes everything that Rory and Dean do much more morally questionable.
Right, right.
And what do they do?
Oh, we're jumping there?
Sure, why not?
So,
they become lovers. Stop staring at me.
This is where I wish we were on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
You're ridiculous. So, yeah, so, okay, so the night of the test run.
At the end.
Lorelai sends, like, Rory back to go get some CDs. And
a very 2003 thing to say.
Right. And I don't quite remember. Does Dean just follow her? Because why would he be at her house?
Well, they almost kiss.
Oh, yeah, and then at Tom.
The inn. Yeah, and then Tom fucking C-3PO's in there. And he's like, Captain Solo. So they can't kiss. And I guess he does follow her.
Yeah, I was trying to think why he would be there.
But also, we're skipping another thing, which is the previous episode. We're going to jump all around. So, you know, who cares? So the previous episode, Emily, Rory's grandmother, sets her up on a date with this bro-y D-bag. And it's at a bar, and she goes to the bar, and she doesn't have a good time. Right. And she ends up calling Dean to come and, like, save her. And then her and Dean hang out and get drunk. And then he walks her home, or walks her back to her dorm, and they're both drunk. And he...
Are they drunk?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For she's...
Are you sure?
Yeah. They're acting drunk.
Okay.
They're definitely acting loosey goosey. So,
I feel like... Okay.
You feel like no?
Well, I don't know.
I'm remembering Rory being like, like being very like, you can't see what I'm doing with my arms. But I'm flailing my arms about.
I don't think so.
Okay.
She like showed him around the campus.
But they were, okay, never mind.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't think.
Well, do you think it makes a narrative difference if they're not drunk? I think the alcohol lubricates the sinning.
Right.
that almost happens.
Right. Right.
He's expecting to go in.
Right.
And then Jess shows up.
Right. But they have those moments like a few times when they're not drunk. So, I mean.
I feel like that's the first big one.
Right.
The only moment before that is when there's that episode where her and Lorelai keep having phone tag. And it's the episode's trying to drill home the narrative point that, like, they're not good without each other, mother and daughter. And she cries because she misses her mother.
Right.
And he consoles her. But that's not, like, they're not about the kiss. That's just an emotional moment.
I know.
I feel like this is the moment where he's like, I got a few drinks in me. You got a few drinks in you. It's the end of the semester. You got an empty dorm room. I'm ready to cheat on my wife right now.
But how are they drinking?
They were drinking at the bar. They were just at a bar.
I know, but they're not 21. They're 19.
So?
Okay. I'm just confused.
We've already seen him drunk at his bachelor party.
Yeah, but that's because someone bought beers and they drank it in the JCPenney parking lot.
So yeah, then in the last episode, in finale, they almost kiss again. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to her house because she needs to get the CDs. And then they start kissing. He basically says he doesn't love his wife anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, we're done. But he doesn't say he's going to leave her. He just says, we're done. We tried to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And then she loses her virginity to Dean.
And then Lorelai comes in and realizes, like, what happened. I mean, they're up and they're dressed. But, yeah. Like, she sees that the bed is unmade.
Right. They're pretty disheveled.
Right.
It's pretty obvious what just happened. And they also had said earlier on that she was going to tell her mother before.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that.
Right.
And when I was watching it, I was like, yell at her, Lorelai. Like, yell at her. Like, she's done something bad. Rory really, everyone talks about this, but Rory really fucking annoys me in this season. Because I feel like she continues to be reckless with other people's lives and feigns ignorance.
Right.
When she's confronted about it, like, I don't know anything. And it's like, really? You don't know that it's wrong to fucking call a married man to come to a bar with you? And
right.
And Lorelai does yell at her.
Right. Yeah.
She's like, did he say he was going to leave his wife? Did he say he was going to get divorced? And Rory keeps like coming up with these lame excuses like, well, they don't love each other. I had him first. Like, real childish shit.
And she's like, took off the ring.
Yeah. She's like, listen to yourself. You're the other woman.
Right.
And then Rory's like, I hate you for ruining this for me.
And then she goes to call Dean and Lindsay answers his phone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it leaves off.
Yeah. That's the end of the season. So let's jump backwards, though. So that's Rory's story.
And we have... do we want to talk about Jason now?
Yeah, let's talk about Jason.
I love Jason.
I like him too. Jason. I didn't like him at first. At first, I was like, I don't like this guy's face.
Well, his face gets better when he gets the goatee.
Well, you said to me that, because I've joked on every one of these podcasts that I feel like, as interesting as Rory's boyfriends are, Lorelai's boyfriends are always duds that I don't care about narratively. And you said he's your favorite, and he's my favorite too so far, not counting Luke. Right. Because he's interesting. He's not some dud. He's not like Max, where with Max, I could see that he's handsome, but I also could be like, what would she ever see in Max?
Right. Like, what do they talk about?
Right. Like, Jason is funny. He makes jokes. He's as silly and funny as Lorelai is. So you can see why she would like him.
Right.
And they also have, like, they went to camp together. They also, like, have, like, a...
like, a sort of history?
Yeah, yeah. Like, but, like, a friendly history.
Right.
Because everyone used to call him Digger.
Right, which I don't get. Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's, like, white people names. Like, that sounds like a Romney name. Like,
I guess.
Like, Tag Digger.
I was trying to...
Digger Romney.
I was trying to figure it out because they referenced the camp. And she, like, falls in the lake, and you could see through her shirts, and then he calls her, like, umats, which that I get. Mm. I don't get the Digger. I thought it was going to come from there, where they explained it, but, I mean, you're probably right. Probably right. Because his dad calls him that, too.
Right, and we should say, the reason they knew each other all their lives is because Jason's father was Richard's partner.
Boss.
Oh, boss.
Yeah, they weren't partners.
Oh, I thought they were partners in his original firm.
He wasn't a partner in that original firm.
Okay.
I don't think.
Okay. Yes, because a couple seasons ago, or last season, Richard was sort of forced to retire out of his insurance company, and then tried to retire and it didn't work, and then he went into business for himself.
Right.
Jason comes into this story not initially through Lorelai, but through Richard.
Through Richard.
He comes to Richard, and Richard's got this animosity towards Jason's father for pushing him out of the company.
For Jason.
Right, right.
They push him out to make room for Jason.
Right. And he's like, I hate my father and I want to go into business with you. I think, you know, you're better than my father. It'll drive my father crazy.
Right.
We can, your company's small, but I can bring a lot to it. It would be a good alliance if we go into business together.
Right.
And that ends up being a really good... Jason allows for there to be a storyline that involves both Lorelai and Richard and Emily in a way that makes sense.
Right.
And that ties them together. Because now that he's back, now that he's in the picture, he's creating problems for Emily too. Because Emily always did things a certain way. And Digger, Jason has all these new ways of doing things. And she feels useless. And she feels like this young guy is coming in and making her husband act differently.
Mm-hmm. But I think it all starts with, like, that one thing where where Richard says that Jason, like, really wanted to piss off his father. And Emily's like, well, you didn't tell me that that was the reason. That's, like, very childish. And why would he go against his family?
Right, right, right.
And I think from that point on, it doesn't matter what Jason does. It could be something that she loved and she'd still not like him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you're right. You're right.
Right, there's a moment where she wants to throw, like, a party.
Yeah, that's a cocktail party.
Yeah, and he's like, no, we're going to take out our clients, the AC. It's going to be great. This is, like, modern business doing whatever. And she feels like, well, this was always her part of the business to, like, throw parties and stuff, and she feels kind of useless.
Right, and before the inn opens, and this is only one episode. I assume they do this throughout, but Lorelai and Suki have a catering company.
Yeah.
So Emily hires their catering company for this party that they're throwing for the clients.
Right.
And then ends up having to, like, fire her.
Yeah.
Which then brings Lorelai, like, into it because she goes to yell at Jason.
Right, for about making her mother feel that way.
Right, about making her feel obsolete.
And in a total boss move, he takes her yelling at him into trying to get a date out of her.
Yep.
And I think she's charmed by it because he was also, you get the feeling like he was a nerd and she was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And
now
he's like, I got money and I'm kind of interesting and I've turned my weird quirkiness into success.
Mm-hmm.
And they both talk fast. He talks fast like she does.
Oh, yeah.
They do kind of have a chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they start dating. Or he kind of like extorts a date out of her.
Yeah, because she gets into a fight with her parents.
Yeah.
And he has a reservation at this like really fancy, is it Japanese?
Yeah, it's a Japanese restaurant.
Which that's a fun episode or a fun scene too. Oh yeah, their first date. Yeah. So he gets like a private room.
Right.
Which now would be absolutely perfect.
Right. Post COVID-19, you'd be like, yes, that's perfect. But at the time, Lorelai's like, well, there's no people in here. This is weird. It's quiet.
Ted Koppel's out there. She wants to like hang out with all the
commotion. He has OCD.
Oh, yeah.
As someone with actual OCD, I'm not offended by it, but I can say it's 2003 when this is made. So it's like, I feel like unless you had OCD, you didn't know what OCD was until the movie As Good As It Gets in 1997. I feel like the average person didn't know what OCD was.
Right.
Unless you had it. And then I feel like it was represented in the media as the way it was represented in As Good As It Gets. Right. So he's got 2003 TV OCD. So like he doesn't want to be around people. He when they get together after sex, he's like, can you go be in your own room because I can't sleep in a bed with somebody. He has like this minimalist house where there's not a lot of things in
it. Yeah, because he can't sleep if he has any distractions.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's why he got the room. I think he got the room because he has money, so he wants to get the exclusive things.
Okay,
Because he said that, like, everybody wants that room.
Right.
The only thing that he said he didn't want to do was sit at a bar.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think I don't think the room had to do with that. I think the room had to do with, like, he really wanted to go all out and use whatever he could to impress her.
Right. And much like Shania Twain, it don't impress her much. And they eventually, like, go to, like, a supermarket.
Oh, yeah. First they try to get tacos, and he's like, nah.
Yeah. Right. Nah. He what's his... That's some OCD thing, right? There's some reason why he's like, he won't eat tacos. Isn't there some reason?
He's like, I think he said he doesn't like Mexican food, and she's like, this bears no resemblance to Mexican food. I think he's just said he doesn't like... I actually don't remember. They are messy. I wouldn't want tacos in the car.
He's quirky.
He is quirky. And he has a dog!
But his dog, like, doesn't do anything. His dog, like, sits absolutely still.
No, he goes a little to the left.
Yeah.
But Cyrus, that's his dog's name. But he's the first boyfriend with a dog, so automatically.
Yeah.
So, are we staying on the Jason story?
Yeah. So they start dating.
Yeah. And they
keep it a secret.
Right. He wants to tell her parents. And she's like, no, it's going to get complicated, which, like... That's just her default. Like, I really wish she had just said something.
She probably should have. Because Emily, she just keeps... Jason tries to get Emily to like him, and it just does not work ever.
Right.
So, like, it just keeps getting worse. They probably should have said something sooner. He wanted to.
Yeah, he wanted to from the beginning. And then he keeps bringing it up.
Right. And Lorelai doesn't.
Yeah, because, like, she's like, you're in business with my father. And it's like, yeah... I guess, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. Does that complicate? I guess it could complicate their relationship. I don't know. Richard seems so like.
I don't think it would bother Richard at all.
I don't think so.
It would bother Emily.
Even if they broke up, like Richard knows how Lorelai goes through men. So, you know?
Yeah.
Like, unless he physically hurt her or, you know, did any like. Damage to her physically or psychologically, like I don't think he would really mind if they just split.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
So they're together, they like each other.
And then they
Jason's father like comes to them on the golf course and is like, we should have dinner together. And they think like he's extending an olive branch. And it's like an ambush though. When they have dinner together, they're all like smoking cigars in leather chairs. And Jason's father's like, I'm suing you because you took my clients, because Jason took my clients when he left, and that's a breach of his contract, and I know that you don't have enough money to fight my lawsuit, so this is revenge for
which Jason didn't. Yeah. It's like all things that can't be proven, but his father knows that it doesn't matter, that the lawsuit will bury them.
Right.
And he has a private investigator on Jason, which is how he knows all this.
Oh, right. And then that's a big moment in the house where he's like, that's how I know that you're dating Richard's daughter. And Emily's like, what?
Right. Yeah.
And we also find out in that scene that Richard put up their house as collateral for the business. So
he's
really put a lot on the line for the business, and Emily didn't know that. Richard keeps keeping things from Emily.
Yeah. And that started last season when he didn't tell her about the retirement. I mean, that was for the holidays, I guess. But yeah. Which I guess we'll get to that storyline next.
You know, as we're talking about it, I'm realizing what makes this season so good is every storyline intertwines. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like
it's all separate.
Which is when Gilmore Girls is not working at its best, everything feels separate.
Right.
Even Lane's storyline, which usually I feel like, Lane's storyline, even that I feel like intercepts more with the main storyline because she goes to stay with Rory for a while.
Yeah, that's really, I liked when she was at Yale.
Yeah, we should talk about her storyline too, because I actually find her storyline interesting for once.
Right.
Because after she left her mother's house.
Well, wait, let's finish with Jason, no?
Okay, yeah, okay.
So, I mean, we're basically at the end of Jason. So
Richard pulls some evil shit.
Yeah, all of this comes out. And the final scene of that episode with the dinner where they find out there's a private investigator, Richard's on the golf course with, Floyd, that's his name. That's Jason's dad's name. He's on the golf course with Floyd and they're like, you know, they just won a game. And he's like, okay, so you'll come back. That's why he's not partner. Cause he says then we'll make you partner.
Right. Yeah.
You'll have like an umbrella company under, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be under, you'll still have your company, but it'll be part of our company.
Right. And Jason's out. So.
Evil shit. That he did it all just to fuck over his own son.
Yeah. Like what? For what? Right. For what though?
It's a it's an ominous scene too. Right. Like the way that it's filmed.
Right.
Because they're golfing and it's like, why is Richard with the bad guy? And it's not until later on that Richard kind of explains himself a little bit and is like,
right.
I was afraid I was going to lose everything. You heard what he said about the house. Like, I can't lose everything I've built.
And also, Emily tries to like, oh, wait, maybe that's after. Okay, So that's when we find out Richard is going to, and they're going to go after Jason.
Yeah.
So Richard's explaining everything to Emily because Emily comes in and she's like, is it really necessary that you do this? Like, do you have to destroy everything he's built? And she's like, I'm so worried. We just got Lorelai back in this house.
Right.
And this is going to push her away. And that's when he goes into his big speech about how, you know, they were going to go after us. I needed to do what I needed to do, blah, blah.
She's afraid she's going to lose Rory, too.
Right.
She says, like, what if they leave? And what if they take Rory? You know, and I think that's a big moment for Emily, too, because she confronts him.
Right.
Because we've got the thing from last season where he didn't tell her that he was being pushed out.
Right.
She didn't know that he put the house up for collateral. She didn't know or she didn't like the way he was doing business with Jason. And we also find out that he has maintained a friendship with his college girlfriend behind her back forever.
Penelin Lott.
Yeah. Who she hates. Because his mother liked her, which is another part of the story that his mother dies. So that's a big moment when she's just like, I've had it with this shit. And she walks out. And we find out after that that they're separated and she's living in a hotel. Right. So that's like it. She like walks away. She's like, fuck this and all your lying.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And Emily has like a lot going on. She has like a whole break. In a shopping mall.
Oh, right, where she's just, like, fucking being rich.
I think Richard makes a comment about her, like, spending too... About, like, all she knows how to do is, like, spend money.
Yeah.
And she... Lorelai and Rory decide to, like, play hooky, and they run into her at the mall, and she is just, like... full on going through the mall, like anything and everything she can get. She's like, I want this. She picks out a globe that's on display and the guy's like, that's not for sale. And she's like, everything is for sale. Yeah.
She's like, you, you have Richard Gilmore's measurements on file. I want this suit and that suit.
On file.
Yeah.
I feel rich when I, like, get my order picked up at Target.
Of course.
And they bring it to my car.
Yeah.
That's my personal shopper.
Yeah, and I guess the other aspect of this is Richard's mother, Trix, who was played by Marion Ross.
Mm-hmm.
She dies, and Emily and her never had a good relationship.
Oh, yeah, and then she finds this letter.
Right, written to Richard the night before their wedding.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think Emily's going to make you happy. You should marry Penelin Lott.
Yeah. She begs him to leave Emily at the altar. And Emily's finding it while she's getting all her affairs in order. And Emily's like, nope, that's it. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah.
We're done.
I love that for Emily because then there's like, we see Emily day drinking.
Oh,
she's
like
fucking
smoking.
I know. She
never smokes.
It's wild. And like, Rory and Lorelai are like, what the fuck is happening?
She's reading this book about a Victorian prostitute.
Yeah, she like she doesn't want to go to the funeral. She's just like she totally is like has no more fucks to give.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
and I think that's part of also her being like done with Richard, being like fuck this. He's not equal. It's not an equal partnership the way she thought it was.
Yeah,
wild.
Yeah,
and that storyline is kind of then Jason tells Lorelai, I've got to sue your father back. I just have to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's like, it's not personal, just business. I just have to do it. And she's like, you can't do it. I can't date somebody who's suing my family. And they break up.
Right.
And
because it's either he sues and stays or he has to leave and start over somewhere else.
Right. Part of me was like, I guess I understand Lorelai. Mm-hmm. But part of me was like, after everything that's happened, part of me wanted to be like, don't leave him. She just makes it like it's plain and simple. If you're suing my dad, I can't date you.
I don't know. Yeah. But I think it has more to do with her mom.
Sure, yeah.
I think she was there for the whole breakdown and the mall. Like she's seen a lot of it. She's seen a lot of her mother be vulnerable.
Yeah.
When I don't think she has her whole life. And I think she knows that this is just going to be another thing, especially if she stays with him when he sues him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think it's more for her mom, but.
No, yeah. I wanted her to not. I didn't want the relationship to end that way.
Right. No,
it felt like a very. I mean, I understand it, but it felt like, this is a good. This is like a good relationship.
Yeah.
And I liked that he was rich. It felt a little Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so in the final episode, it's funny, we're like taking every storyline all the way through and then starting back again.
Right.
In the final episode when they're doing the test thing,
parent
traps her parents.
Oh, right.
Because she knows that they're separated, but she don't know that they know that she knows. That they know she knows. So then she's like puts them in like this separate cottage that they call like their honeymoon suite.
And then sends them dinner to their room so they can't even get out.
Right. And then the mother's like, you know that we were separated. You're doing this to torture us. And she's like, I didn't know that I was supposed to know that. You didn't know that I thought I knew. And it's a cliffhanger. They kind of just leave.
Right.
They don't even really say. I mean, you can infer that it's because of all the shit that's happened this season. Mm-hmm. But they haven't even said, like, Emily has not said why they've split up. She just says, like, it's not your business.
Right. Right.
You just assume it's because of all the things that happened.
Right.
And I guess I haven't seen season 5, so I guess season 5 will pick up.
Yeah.
Where we left off. Yeah, what else? Oh, and then in the last episode, Jason shows up and he's like, I want to talk it over, blah, blah, blah. I want a room.
Right.
But that intersects with the Luke story, so we should talk about Luke.
Right, and then we'll go back. Sure. I feel like we should have saved the whole last episode and just done that, but that's okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So, Luke.
Well, his sister shows up.
Yeah.
Jess's mom.
What's her name? Liz.
Liz. And she's got a history of getting together with losers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now she's with TJ.
TJ.
Who seems like a nice guy.
His real name is Gary.
He's a DeLuise.
Yes. There's two of them in this season.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, her showing up, I'm trying to think of what it does for the story.
Oh, wait. Also, Luke gets married to Nicole.
Wasn't that last season, though? Didn't they get married and divorced in last season?
Was that last season? I thought it was the beginning of this season.
In the beginning of this season, they're dating again. He's dating his ex-wife. They bleed into each other, especially when you watch them a million times.
I thought the beginning, the very beginning of this season.
They were divorced?
He told her that they got, well, they get, it's all in one sentence. That he tells her that they got married on the ship. And then he tells her that we're getting a divorce. But then they decide to date, but stay married. And then, like, as time goes by, then they break up and get divorced.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I think the beginning of this, because it starts at the end of the summer.
Right.
So they get back from Europe and he gets back from the cruise.
Oh, yeah. I
think it's in the first episode.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, and I only remember that because when we first, like, well, not when we first see Liz, but when Lorelai first sees Liz, she's in Luke's truck. And Liz is like, oh, you're the wife. So, which she's not.
Yeah, well, that's a good moment because she recognizes that Lorelai would be good with Luke.
Right.
She sort of innately senses that Luke would like her and stuff.
So she introduces TJ to Luke. And Jess comes back for a little bit. And they're both like, we got to get rid of this guy.
Right. No. Jess is like that. And Luke's like, this guy might be good. Right? Or am I remembering this all wrong?
No. I think they both.
They both want to get rid of him?
Because I remember Luke is like, what, you like this guy? And Jess is like, I don't like any of the guys, but she's going to do what she's going to do.
Right. Yeah, it creates a nice dynamic between Jess and Luke.
Yeah.
To deal with each other. Because you know, the mother's been a flake. And Luke has always kind of taken care of her financially whenever she hits rock bottom, he helps her again.
Right.
And Jess, part of the reason Jess is this sort of, the way he is because his mother was always kind of a flake.
Right.
So he's kind of like, this is another boyfriend, this is another husband. Yeah, I'm not going to care.
Right. It's going to be over soon, so what does it matter?
Yeah.
But, yeah. He's like helping her with the wedding. They have a Renaissance wedding, which is fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
And Luke, I guess, just leaves, but Luke has to, like, try to go get him back because Liz wants Jess to walk him down, to walk her down the aisle. Yeah. So that's, like, a whole thing. They go to TJ's bachelor party where they get into a fight because Jess is like, I'm not going to walk her down the aisle.
Right. Jess and TJ get into a fight.
Yeah, Jess and TJ.
Because Jess fucking reads a book while there's titties out.
No, come on.
They're at a strip club and Jess is like, I'm going to read a book. I'm dark and mysterious.
There's mud wrestling.
Oh, yeah, there's mud wrestling, which I've only ever seen in movies. Yeah, and fucking what else? Oh, the first time he's back, when Jess first comes back to meet TJ, that's when he bumps into Rory and he's like, I love you.
Yeah.
And then he literally runs away and she's like, what?
Yeah, he tells her that he loves her. But then when he comes back for the wedding, Luke has started reading a self-help book on, like, how to find love, I guess. Because he's just, like, he's trying to better himself.
Yeah.
He's trying to grow. And he asks Lorelai to the wedding.
Yeah.
Which...
Yeah, you know,
I love it.
I love it too, obviously. I've been saying every time we record this, I hope they finally get together. And here we are at the end of season four.
Mm-hmm.
They finally kiss at the end of season four.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me was, I don't dislike it, but part of me was surprised that that's how it was because it's realistic.
Right.
Like, part of me thought, like, you know, it would be like in New Girl where, like, they're like, Jess and Nick are dared to kiss each other and they have to kiss each other. You know, like, I thought it would be more dramatic. Like, it's more like real life where he just is like, he decides that he likes her and he just asks her out.
Right.
And I don't think she knows that it's like a date at first.
Well, she doesn't because she asks Rory if they're dating.
Right.
Because he takes her to the wedding and they have a really nice time and she He puts, very sweet. Yeah, he puts his foot down about dancing, but then he asks her to dance. Then after he walks her home and he like invites her to a movie.
Yeah, they get another date.
Yeah.
That's when she gets it. That's right. When she's like, "Oh no, he likes me."
Right. And then she's talking to Rory and she's like, "Are we dating?"
Yeah.
All of these things together seem like dating.
Yeah. Well, that's really funny too, because that's when she acts like a goof. She goes in and she's like, "Tell me if he's acting weird," but she's acting weird.
Right.
And she like slips on a table and falls. And then like later on she walks into a door.
Right. It's very sweet
and cute.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised that it happened in the way where he just asked her. Like, I thought it would be a bigger thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of was a little bit, because now we're back at the last episode.
Right.
And Jason is there.
Right.
And so they haven't kissed yet. Like, it wasn't an official date, even though going to a wedding seems date-ish. And they're all, like, they're both, like, making, like, googie eyes at each other.
Yeah.
So, they seem like they both understand that they're on track, but then Jason shows up.
Right, and Jason's like, she's like, "I can't deal with you now. This is we're doing a test run."
Right.
And he's like, "Well, I'm just going to stay here until you can talk to me."
Right.
And Babette is like, "Do you know who that is?"
No. Lucas.
Yeah.
And she tells him, but she's like, "I thought they broke up, but maybe not since he's here."
He's suing her father.
And then Luke goes to talk to Jason, and Jason's like, "Oh yeah, we've been dating for the past 6 months.
Yeah,
that's
he lies.
My girlfriend."
He's like, "We're getting back together."
I know.
Or he thinks that's what's gonna happen.
I think sometimes he needs to like say things into.
Yeah. And Luke is like, okay. And then Luke kind of gets mad at her. And he's like, "I didn't know you were taken. I thought we had a moment. I thought we were doing something here."
You know how many times I bought flowers for someone? No one. Never. Whatever.
He says something like it's an easy statistic to remember. And then he goes to kiss her. She pulls away because she's like, "What the fuck is happening?" And then he's like, just be still. And then he kisses her.
Yeah.
And then she does it to him and he pulls away and she says, "Just be still."
Yeah.
And then they kiss.
It's
and
beautiful.
I love it.
And then
I was so happy.
And then Kirk has a night terror and runs down naked.
Right. And he's like, "I gotta go take care of this." And that's when she, on a high, goes home and finds Rory just fucked Dean.
Oh no, it's because she needed like ointment and whatever for Kirk.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't even get to tell. It looks like she's about to tell Rory what happened, but then she has to deal with what Rory's going through.
Right.
And Rory's like, "I hate you for ruining this for me," but I'm thinking like, you're ruining this for Lorelai. Lorelai's having a big moment.
Right.
And you got to go fucking other people's husbands.
Right.
And
it's rough.
Yeah. But they finally kiss.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's really interesting because it's like, we see, there's always a chemistry there.
Yeah.
And he has dreams of her and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it seems more like he is more aware of liking her than she is of liking him.
Oh, yeah.
But when he reads the book, or he's listening to a self-help tape, and it's like, you have to imagine what it is you want. And he kind of has this epiphany, like, "Yeah, I want Lorelai." And I feel like I don't know what's in her head. Did she just feel like it's never going to happen, so I'm not going to wait for it? Was she in denial about it because they're such close friends?
Right.
It seems like she would have been happy never doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does it and she's like, "Oh, this is good."
Mm-hmm.
I guess season 5 will illuminate more.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that it's not like they both are pining for each other. It's just like they both clearly know that they like each other, but have gotten so used to doing nothing about it.
It might have been like, they've known each other for 20 years, right? Because that's, or yeah, when, I mean, like 18 years, because that's how old Rory is.
Right, when she came to Stars Hollow.
Right, and because she came when Rory was 1, I think, and she's 19. So, I mean, what, Luke's a little bit older than her? Like, she could have just not really thought about him.
Yeah.
Because she's known him for so long, she was busy with Rory and, like, getting a life together. he was probably just starting the business and like.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, it could have.
They're clearly very close friends.
Right. And I don't know. Maybe like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe now that they both like kind of like chilled and settled.
Well, he's done with his ex-wife.
Right.
And the Jason thing is over.
Yeah, sad.
So it's a perfect time. They're both newly single.
Right.
And I think he's just like, he's going to go for it.
Right.
Yeah, and they kiss.
And then Lean. I think Lean's the last person we didn't talk about.
Yes, Lean leaves her house.
She does. She, okay, so, okay, is this at the end of the last season?
I can't,
season?
I don't know. We could just talk about it. I don't remember.
I know for sure in the last season because Dave was in it, and Dave isn't in the season at all.
Yeah.
She calls her mom drunk because she wants to be with Dave, and she's like, I'm in a rock band, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, like, that kind of goes okay.
Yeah.
And I always forget when her mom, like, discovers everything in the floorboards.
Yeah.
Well, for a little while at the beginning of this season, she's, like, in Seventh-day Adventist College.
Yeah.
Which.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. And, like, she gets in, like, trouble for her nail polish. And, yeah. Like, Rami Malek is in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He plays, like, one of her classmates.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, he's only in it for, like, a scene. Yeah.
There's also Schmidt from New Girl is at Dean's.
Oh, yeah. He's one of Dean's friends.
Bachelor party. It's always interesting when you see like people who later became stars. Right. Tiny little roles.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. And then she goes to live with Rory.
Right. Because she gets. I forget why her mom finds everything.
Well, I guess because of the phone call. No. Doesn't the phone call inspire her to be like, let me look through her room and see what she's hiding from me?
Yeah, I feel like there has to be a moment. There's a moment because she comes home.
I thought that was after the phone call. I thought that was after that
oh,
party.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that maybe yeah, maybe. Maybe.
And she's and there's a great moment where Lane is like tries to just level with her and she's like, yeah. "Listen, I just want to fucking live."
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
I just want to do whatever. And, like, she really just puts it out there like, "I'm not doing anything bad. Right. I'm an artist and blah blah blah."
And she also like tries to like meet her halfway.
Yeah.
She's like, "I'll obey by your rules." She's like, "I'll be home whenever you want." She's like, "Just the nights when the band plays." Yeah. It's like really all she's asking for.
And then her evil mother's like, "Children do not make the rules."
Yeah, you can go and live like that somewhere else.
Yeah,
but
which is so heartbreaking.
I think. I mean, we saw in this season.
No, she's starting to change. She's starting to evolve.
I think that's the best thing for them.
Right. No, I think you're right. No, that's a really good point. That's a really good point.
That they don't live together and they're not. They don't have to have a parent-child dynamic. They're right. Two adults, sort of. Getting to know each other. Right.
Will always her Lane and Miss Kim will always be a sort of like mirror foil to Lorelai and Rory because it's like one is so open and honest and one is not. It's filled with lies and rules and shit.
Right.
And they both Rory and Lane move out.
Right. At the same time.
So I think that's a really good point. It is best. And it's best for Lane because she needs that complete break. She needs that complete, and she moves in with her bandmates.
Well, at first she moves in with Rory.
Right.
She stays at Yale with Rory, and what gets her kicked out is that Rory brought up Paris dating the professor, which Paris wanted to keep secret.
Yeah.
And Lane brings it up to her, and Paris is like, she needs to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. That was never going to last long anyway.
I know, but still. And that's like kind of a sad moment because Rory's like, "You brought Stars Hollow here. Like, we thought about living together once."
Yeah.
It was cute.
Then she goes to live with the band.
Yeah,
What are their names? The two boys, the two idiot boys that are in her band?
Brian and, why can't I think of the other one?
They're so interchangeable to me. There's glasses and not glasses.
Well, glasses is Brian.
And then there's the old dude who's an actual rock star.
Well, he's not there yet, but yeah.
No, he's there.
I know, but not when she first moves in.
No, oh,
he's
right.
He's not
right.
In the band yet. Wow, why can't I think of his name?
It's really unimportant.
The old guy is Gil.
Yes. Somebody
oh,
like
Zach.
Mowing their lawn.
It's Zach and Brian. Wow, I knew it.
Zach and Brian. Okay.
Yeah, someone's mowing their lawn.
They're like, what are you doing, a podcast? I'm going to mow my lawn in the middle of the day.
Yeah, so she moves in with Zach and Brian, and that's like super sweet. She's so excited to have her apartment. They set up bunk beds in the living room so she can have her own room.
And it's kind of shitty and cool, but she's like living the art life.
Yeah.
She seems happier than she's ever been.
She does.
Although there is that one scene where they play a show and like all the guys like get together with girls and she's kind of just has nothing to do.
Yeah, she's missing like her connection. She doesn't have Rory to be at the show anymore.
Right.
And I mean, her mom was never going to go to the show, but I think she's just like missing her mom.
Yeah.
In general.
All right, because that's when she fucking stalker goes home and sneaks into her house and like sees her mother sleeping.
And her mom gets like an exchange student.
Right.
From Seoul.
And she's like, you can't take my place in the house.
Right. And she, at first she goes into her old room and sees the girl sleeping in her bed.
It is weird.
And then she goes and, I mean, it is weird, but like, I don't know.
The mother really did replace her.
I know. Like, what would you do though? Like, what do? If you miss someone that much.
Just fucking talk to them.
She can't.
There are some good scenes between Lorelai and Miss Kim.
Yeah.
Where Lorelai is like trying to help Miss Kim get there.
Right.
And she's like, I know that you miss Lean.
Right.
Just talk to Lean.
Right. And she like she'll go in and just like tell, like when she kicked her out, I guess she didn't have any idea where her daughter went.
Yeah.
And Lorelai just goes in and she's like, she's at Yale, she's with Rory. And like, I mean, Miss Kim kind of like has a tiny bit of relief, but then goes back to being super stoic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Is that it? I feel like that's basically it.
She, oh no, there's that scene where her mom comes to visit, which I think is where we see that things are going to be better for the two
of
them.
Right, because
her mom comes over and
she tries to make it nice. The two boys wear like ties,
and
they
mom,
offer her tea.
And her mom seems excited. I guess she didn't know who she was living with.
She didn't know she was living with boys,
right? But
which freaks her out.
But when she shows up at the door, like Mrs. Kim is smiling, which we don't see a lot. She has a bowl of like whatever gross healthy thing that Lane likes, and she's just like, I think she's trying to make a peace offering. And then she sees that Lean is in the apartment with two boys.
Yeah.
And that just like, it's like everything she's built up and trying to do has just kind of fallen apart for her because she's like, she's dirty. That's what she says to Lorelai. She's dirty. And Lorelai's like, no, she wanted to be honest. She didn't want to hide them. That's why they were there. And,
She's like, just imagine they're girls.
Right. And then she goes back and, like, she's better. And she's like, I'll have tea now.
Yeah.
And
your girls.
Right. You two are girls. And, like, she sees all the other things that are wrong with the apartment, like the window's broken and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that was a step that they needed.
Yeah.
And then.
That's it for her storyline.
Yeah. And then there's some stuff with Suki.
Oh, right. Suki has the baby.
Yeah. I feel like the really, like, big thing with Suki was at the Lord of the Rings party.
Right, yeah.
So they have a catering company, and they...
as a way to make money before the inn opens, and to help open the inn.
Right. And for a chance for them to work together, because, like, Lorelai was a party planner. I mean, she ran the inn, but she also, like, planned a lot of events.
Yeah.
Suki cooks, so... So they plan a Lord of the Rings party for some kid in the...
Remember, it's 2003.
Right. In the town. Yeah. And,
she's making them, like, grown-up gourmet food.
Oh, yeah. Stuff I would not eat.
And Lorelai's like, this is... The children will not eat this.
Right.
You have hot dogs.
Right. She makes, like, mac and cheese with, like, a gorgonzola. It's, like, green. No. And I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, she's like, it's green. Kids don't eat green things.
Yeah. And Suki has like a breakdown because she's afraid that she's not going to be able to like be a good parent.
Yeah.
She yells at a kid without meaning to, and she feels terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which that kid was someone, and I cannot remember who she was.
Oh, I don't know.
She like grows up to be someone in the world.
And that kid grew up to be Michelle Obama.
No. Nope. It was not Michelle Obama.
And that kid grew up to be Susan B. Anthony.
Oh, boy. That's not right at all. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, she has the baby.
Yeah. There's a lot of Michelle this season because...
Oh, yeah, Michelle. Because Michelle.
They decide that they want to bring Michelle back for the new inn. So there's a lot of... Because the inn's being built, there's a lot of Michelle outside of how we had seen him before. He also has, like, rad new hair.
I like it.
Yeah. There's a funny moment where he's babysitting Suki's kid, and he's like, he's stuck under the bed. There's a lot more Michelle stuff.
Yeah, because he's, okay, so, well, yeah. Michelle is like super nervous that they're not going to include him.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure those are his best friends in the world, Lorelai and Suki. And he's just he's so afraid that he's not going to be included.
Well, there's a funny moment, too, where it's Suki and Lorelai talking, and she's like, we're going to bring Michelle, right? Like, yeah, right?
We need him, right?
Yeah, like it. Like they weren't sure, but also like it seemed like an obvious thing.
Right. But yeah, so we see him at like this fancy hotel in New York, and he hates it. I mean, he pretends to love it, but
he hates it. Right, right. He acts, first when they come in, he acts like he's got everything together, and then he's like, please take me away from here.
Right. And then they have a meeting, and Tobin? Right? That's his name? The night manager?
Yeah, from Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, there's like a thing between them where like they don't like each other and Tobin like sucks up to Lorelai.
Yeah.
And there's like a whole thing with Lorelai's birthday where like Tobin buys her a gift. So Michelle goes and buys her a gift and then Tobin buys her a better gift. And Michelle's like, be here when I get back. Because he's so jealous of him.
Yeah.
Which leads to him babysitting Suki's baby because Tobin is her nanny.
What's the baby's name? Martin? Is it Martin? Why am I thinking Martin?
Well, Michelle calls him Truman.
Truman.
Oh, Davey.
Davey.
Yeah.
Truman. I don't know where the fuck I got Martin from.
Where did Michelle get Truman from?
I don't know. So, we basically did it. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Living Arts Festival?
Yes. Yes.
It's just a fun little episode.
It's something I need.
What is it?
Okay, so it's they do this art show where it's famous paintings and sculptures, but they put, like, people, living people into it.
Yeah.
I guess you, like, get up in costume and you stand in front of a background, but then there's a frame in front of you.
We looked this up, right? This is real thing that happened somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's also in Arrested Development, and I'm dying to go to one. It's not like it's just in Gilmore Girls. Someone else did it, and I'm dying to go to one. So, like, the whole town is in it.
Yeah.
Lorelai,
they didn't want her in it because when she did it, like 10 years ago, she flinched. And everyone's like, you flinched. And she's like, I didn't flinch.
Right. They cast Kirk as Jesus.
And he starts acting like Jesus. It's real stupid.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Kirk. He's got a girlfriend now. There's a lot of Kirk in this season.
Yeah, Lulu. He's got Lulu. They're cute together.
Yeah. And I guess the other standout episode is Spring Break.
Oh, right.
Rory and Paris don't want to go at first, and then they go.
Mm-hmm.
And first they don't want to hang out and drink, and then they do. And that leads to, they see the two girls they went to high school with.
Oh, yeah, Madeline and Louise.
And they call Dean's number because they're why do you have your ex-boyfriend on your phone?
Right. And she's like, we're friends.
Yeah.
And they kiss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Paris and Rory.
Right, because they say you can get attention if you kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And she's a little upset because the Professor Asher is like away somewhere without her, or didn't want to take her somewhere or something.
Right.
Or other.
I feel like he wasn't wrong. Because he's like, she said that he said that he wants her to have like as many like experiences as she can.
Right.
And he's old.
Right.
He's old as heck.
But you get the feeling that he doesn't really care about her. She's just a young, hot girl.
I mean...
And he likes the attention.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree.
All right. Well, that storyline ends with he has, like, a heart attack or almost has a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she is young.
Right.
But, like...
But we've heard that he, like, every semester he's got a different girl.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, I feel like...
Do you think it's actually he really likes her, that it's something special?
So. I think Paris is commanding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't see someone having, like, just a fling with her. You have to either, like, decide you want her in your life or you don't.
Well, I feel like she thinks it's more than a fling.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just the way I read it.
Yeah.
And then you've got Danny Strong from Buffy is in this season as the head of the Yale school paper.
Oh, yeah. The Yale Daily News.
Yeah.
He's Doyle.
Yeah.
He's in it. He's in it for the rest of...
He's good. He was from Buffy, and now he's like a writer. He writes on Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we did it. I think we did everything.
Yeah.
So we always end this by me guessing what I think will happen in the next season. So let me ponder what I think will happen in season 5 of Gilmore Girls. Well, Luke and Lorelai kissed, so I think that they'll date. But I think because they were friends for so long, there'll be some awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we date? How do I still see you every morning when I come in to get my food? Are you still going to, you know, does it change our schedule? Do you stay here? What happens? And how is it awkward? And blah, blah, blah. Is everyone in the town going to find out? It'll be a big thing for the gossip mill. I think Paris will get a different boyfriend. Or I think she'll be done with the professor and she'll move on to whatever her next thing is. What's Rory going to do? Well, I've heard it's hard to avoid spoilers for a 20-year-old show. So I've heard that, like, I think what I've heard is that she keeps hooking up with Dean.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that'll happen. Hopefully Dean leaves Lindsay. Maybe Lindsay confronts Rory and smacks her in the face. That'd be some fun drama. I don't know. I don't see Jess in it. I mean, I could see maybe Jess comes back. But I don't, we didn't talk about Jess.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Jess, just that one moment.
Sure, yeah, talk about
just
it.
Just that one moment. Okay, so,
All right, cut back to the beginning when we were talking about Dean's storyline. After the bar, he thinks she's going to go into her dorm and bang.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Well, doesn't he? He runs in.
He does.
He interrupts that.
Right, he does, and he tries to get Rory to run away with him. She's like, no, and he's like, don't say no unless you definitely don't want to be with me. And she's like, no.
And he's, like, crestfallen.
But no, I wanted to talk about that one moment with him and Luke, where Luke is done with the book, he gives it to Jess, and Jess is reading it. But, like, so I guess out of the book, Luke gets Lorelai, and out of the book, Jess gets appreciation for all that Luke has done for him.
But I think it's also what inspires him to go run to
Rory. Oh, yeah, no, of course.
And say, let's go away together.
But I think it also helped him to open up to Luke.
Yeah, they hug, which never does. Very sweet.
And he says something like, he quotes something from the book and about, like,
you have
reciprocal
emotions. Right. You can't put up walls. You have to, like...
Right.
And then Luke is basically like...
Are you looking for... me to reciprocate or something? I forget exactly how it's worded.
But basically, like, Luke is like, you don't have to thank me for everything I've done for you.
Like, I'm always here for you.
Yeah, and they hug, and it's very cute. It's very sweet.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really wanted to talk about that, and I forgot about it.
Yeah, well, there's so much stuff.
Jess, I love Jess. I love Jess.
Well, he's a work in progress.
I know, and I think he has, like, he just, like, he grows.
Yeah.
He's just, And I said to you, I was like, can't you see that becoming
Jack Pearson? Yeah, yeah.
If the timelines weren't off.
I also like the storyline with the book, because they make fun of the self-help book, yet it helps them both.
Yeah.
So in the end, the moral in Gilmore Girls is always reading is good. Reading is fundamental,
right.
Kids.
Right. And I like that I mean, he wasn't defending Jess. He was defending the book because he was reading it. But Lorelai, like, makes fun of Jess reading the book.
Yeah.
And Luke gets so defensive.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a personal attack because he was reading the book first.
Yeah.
But
Luke, they figure out pretty early on that when Luke freaks out, it's really entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, getting Luke, putting Luke in situations where he's not comfortable is fun.
Right. Right. Jess. I love Jess. I can't wait. I can't wait for more.
Well, we did it.
Yeah.
That was Gilmore Girls season 4. We did 1-3, so check that out in the feed. Also, if you're new to the show, check out the starter pack.
What?
I had a stroke. Check out the starter pack episode, and, you know, pretty soon we'll do season 5.
Yep. I'm excited.
I just got to watch it first.
Yeah.
JGL, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
The luminous Jennifer Grace Luttrell. We end the episode by saying
go bye-bye.